Sportscast. Welcome to the Sportscast, a special Sportscast on a Saturday. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, iTunes, and Facebook. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. The coronavirus has shut down the world of sports slowly in the past couple of days. It first started with the NBA, and it started going to other leagues in college sports, and now it could potentially dip into the winter sports. And to join us to talk to us a little bit about it is Mr. Tyler Turner and Justin Riley. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Hey, man. Dude.
So, guys, obviously, what a week. It started with the NBA. Justin, what were your first reactions when you first heard, like, the whole sports leagues canceling?
Wow, man, it was just a week, man. It was a span of 48 hours. I mean, my gosh. My initial gut reaction is it was overreaction. I think people were just in panic mode and just making some decisions based on emotion and not really logic. But as things began to materialize, it started becoming more and more serious. I was just blown away just of how quickly everything just came to complete screeching halt. So it's just a wild time, and I still have yet to process it.
Ty, how about yourself? I know that you follow this thing pretty closely, but what were your first reactions?
First I thought it was kind of an overreaction, and I thought it was kind of a hysteria created by the media. And then I started listening. Well, first I started seeing stuff kind of start to go down and stuff. You know, the NCAA first was like canceling fans from attending and canceling fans from attending the tournaments. And then I was like, well, you know, maybe media, but I'm like, it seems pretty little, like it's costing them money. So it doesn't seem in their best interest to start canceling stuff. And then one thing led to another, and then all of a sudden you had the NBA, of course, the one night and canceled the games, and then all of a sudden the season. And then I'm like, wow, this is pretty either drastic overreaction or this is a lot more serious than I thought. And then I started listening to a couple podcasts. I know that I forgot the guy, Michael Armstrong, I think it was, on Joe Rogan. I forgot Dr. Fink. I forgot his first name. He's worked with coronavirus victims out in Mount Sinai in California. There's another guy from Mount Sinai. He's on Fox News frequently. And then they started kind of talking about it. And when they started really going into detail about some of the how serious it is, how many people can get infected, how many the ratio of those who die to those get infected, and how fast it can spread, I was all of a sudden kind of changing my tune to believing that, yes, maybe this was a lot more serious than I initially thought. And, yeah, so.
Justin Riley, of course, one of the big tournaments that was going to happen this month was March Madness. And at first they said, well, no crowds. Now the whole tournament's canceled. What does that do to college sports?
What does it do, man? It just – words can't really describe what it's done. I mean, it's like it's – it's a big collective punch in the gut. You know, it's just a way of life has completely stopped. And that's something you can't just shake off or ignore. And it's something that's it's a unifying avenue that just brings people together in ways that other avenues can't. And now you don't have that available. You don't have that connection. And what amazes me, you know, I can understand postponing things, but outright canceling some things, I don't know if it's quite the right move. You know, why not just postpone the NCAA tournament till next month? And if things haven't improved, you know, come back together and make a decision then. But don't, you know, just cancel everything. Because, you know, you got a lot of kids who have so much to play for. And you have kids who've never had opportunities like what they were going to be offered, like from teams that just aren't so commonly used to being a part of something so large. I think it's a little premature to cancel college baseball and college softball because those are events that last, you know, almost until the summer or, you know, the early part of summer. So instead of canceling it, why not just postpone it for a month, like I just said, and just kind of meet again and see where we can go from there. I think it's crazy to cancel everything right now, especially the summer sports. But it's a hard thing to swallow, because like I said, sports is the heartbeat for a lot of us, man. It's what brings us all together, and when you take that aspect away, it's just hard.
Ty, college basketball, it's a huge part of college sports. What significance would that be for the players and for the teams?
Well, I think you kind of got to look at this objectively, and you just got to take all emotion out of it and say, hey, this is what we got for data, and if this many people are getting infected – hold on. Go ask Mom. I'm doing something right now. Sorry. My daughter's asking for it.
We knew it was coming.
No, but you have to look at things objectively, and you just got to get the data and the research to, like, how many people can get infected, how quickly it can happen, what causes the infections, what spreads it the most, what would be the most damaging to the most amount of people. And then when you receive that data back, you just have to act accordingly. And I believe the data that they have is when it's large amounts of people in close spaces, it's just going to – one person's going to get the virus, another person's probably going to get the virus. It's going to spread the most quickly. Therefore, obviously, the most individuals will get the virus, and possibly most individuals will obviously have adverse effects based upon that. So I just think you just have to act according to the data that they have, and the data they have right now is – it's just too contagious, and they don't have a beat on really where it's coming from and how to really control it. It's a virus after all. So yeah, I just think you have to cancel everything for the foreseeable future.
Now, of course, some of the conferences have awarded like the winners of who has won like the regular season. Tyler, should they award a winner for college? Basketball, or that should be just blanked, or should they postpone until June? I mean, what do you think should happen?
Well, you can't award a winner because no one won. Technically, would that be Kansas? Am I right?
I think they were rated number one in the last rankings.
So Kansas is the national champion. But I don't think you can reward a winner.
Justin,
I think you just you have to see if it comes around, and if it doesn't, then you, unfortunately, this year season's just an empty box.
Also, another whole string of things is spring practices, spring activities. I know that a few teams have canceled. Justin, what's the update on Alabama?
As of right now, practices have come to a stop as far as cancellation of the actual game. No, University Athletic Director Greg Byron has not yet canceled the spring game. And from what I understand, neither has LSU. So right now, as it stands, no spring practice for a while, but no outright cancellations of either spring game.
Tyler, what's the update on the Pac-12 with games and practices?
Well, I know USC canceled. Everything's canceled. They're not going to have a spring game or anything. Oregon is canceled for the rest of the month. They haven't canceled the game. Everyone's canceled and Washington's canceled. They might have a game too canceled. I think most is canceled. Remember, the West Coast has been impacted the most, them and the East Coast. So I believe everything is canceled. Oregon might be the only one who hasn't straight out canceled the game. But everyone else, I think, has canceled for sure all the rest of the practices, and I believe the game. I don't think there's not going to be. Let's be honest. There's not going to be any spring games this year.
You've been saying it since Thursday. I think everything will be canceled.
I don't think there will be a sporting event until May.
That's not too far. Which is pretty good, to be honest.
And I'm being optimistic. I'm like, yeah. I just don't think there'll be anything. I know they postponed the Masters, but when are they postponing it too?
Yeah, yeah.
When are they going to do it? I think we're done with sports which is crazy. It's like ESPN. I just checked out ESPN for fun today. It's like they're doing like old stories. I'm like, they must be bored.
One of the main leagues is the NFL. They're apparently going to start this week. The league will start this week. Multiple team officials expressed widespread skepticism that the NFL can start its league this week. when the country is in crisis. Travel, visits, and physicals would have to happen if that, like, if the league starts. Tyler, should the league, I mean, should the NFL postpone things, or what are your thoughts about this?
When it comes to, like, free agency and stuff?
Free agency, visiting, you know, players like Herbert, things like that.
Oh, I think, yeah, I think all that's canceled. They can't do pro days. But as far as I know, I think it's pretty, at least what I've heard, it's been pretty strong that they're not canceling the draft. Like, the draft will happen April 23rd. Now, will people be there? Probably not. So it'll probably be remotely, which will be the oddest draft literally ever. but it'll be, I mean, kind of, I'm kind of interested. So, and what I'm hearing is, pretty much the evaluation, other than tape and probably some conversations over like Skype or and phone conversations, that the evaluations are going to kind of be what it is. I saw, Ben Solek or Daniel Jeremiah, one of the big NFL draft gurus, they said it. Yeah, it's going to hurt like small school guys. It's going to hurt maybe some individuals that at a pro day could really impress, that maybe is on the cusp. Because they're going to kind of just have to go with what they saw at the combine and senior day at Senior Bowl and what they saw on tape, which is a little obviously different than most.
We'll go with Justin. Justin, we were talking about this earlier this week. Which players will be hurt over this whole situation of the NFL?
Well, I definitely want to pick it back off of what Tyler just said. You mentioned the small schools. a lot of people may not have known this, but. At the end of this month, they were going to actually have the first annual HBCU NFL Combine, dedicated to all the smaller schools of that compose the HBCU, and that's an avenue that's never been awarded to them up until this point. And a lot of those athletes often commonly get overlooked, and this would have been their opportunity to be in the spotlight and actually get their name out there and. Go from being guys that no one's ever heard of who otherwise wouldn't have got, drafted or possibly drafted in the late rounds to better themselves. Now they don't have that. And it's just going to be a lot harder for these smaller school guys to really get into the NFL. You and I talked earlier as well. There's a lot of players who opted to sit out the combine, and it's just a growing trend. Of course, you have some players that really don't even have to compete in it just because of just how much hype is surrounding them, like a Joe Burrow. But there are some other guys that who are projected later rounds or may possibly be a free agent, unsigned, and had they competed in the combine or a pro day now, then they could greatly improve their chances. But now they don't have a pro day. They don't have the opportunity. And some of those people who had that opportunity in the combine should have taken it. And for instance, Alabama's defensive back, Shaheem Carter, that's a guy that, really was a big name coming out of college. He was a decent player and a guy that very serviceable and could be a great pickup, late round. But this is a guy who really needed to, compete in those marquee events to really improve his status. Now he doesn't have a pro day. So what happens? Yeah, like Tyler said, we're going to have to go primarily on tape. But how much tape are scouts and analysts going to actually spend on guys that they don't know about or they aren't too focused on? So I just feel like a lot of players are going to get hurt because of this.
Tyler, any players that you know of that are going to be hurt over the situation?
Well, and I was just thinking about it as you guys were talking, Tua Tagovailoa. The only thing is, would they, because he's such a big prospect, would they possibly do like a simulcam thing where they bring cameras into a closed workout with a couple of his receivers and they have a bunch of scouts watching? Is a possibility. It's a little different than live, but I was thinking that's maybe something to do for like a prospect of his level. That like, because the issue with him right now is the last time you saw him, he was carried off the field with a broken hip. He has had good, his medical tests so far have come back good, but no one has seen him haven't seen him throw. They haven't seen him move around. So will a team want to take a chance on a guy that they haven't seen anything of? They can't even see if he moved around. So unless they can do like a camera, which, you know, with modern technology, probably would be able to do that. But would that be have the same impact would be a question. He's a guy that I immediately thought of. Other than that, I you know, there's the guys that are – it'd be guys that are on the cusp of maybe getting drafted. And but I don't have anyone right off the top of my head because they are on the cusp of getting drafted. So they're not really household names. So,
Justin, yeah. What do you think about Tua's situation right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you completely. You know, as soon as news started coming out, of his prognosis being very favorable and seemingly his healing was, you know, way ahead of schedule. Everybody started getting way excited again, and it was like that they were just putting the whole injury aside, like they're is a forgotten thing. And all of a sudden, he's back in the top five conversation, top three conversation. But and then, you know, he's finally cleared to go, and you know, he's ready and prime for a pro day. Now he doesn't have that, and now we don't get to see, you know, just how much has he progressed? Has he put that injury aside and has have no after effects? Has no limits? We don't know now. And you know, all of a sudden he went from being just being a top three guy again to, you know, without anybody seeing him, possibly doubt creeping in again in the minds of owners and scouts. So on and so forth, and it may even cause him to drop. You know, I agree with Tyler. You know, modern technology can't afford him, you know, a way to be seen. But will that platform be enough to really convince these decision makers? There's a big difference between, you know, watching on a computer and watching live. So there's a lot of questions that are swirling around him right now, and it's unfortunate for him. This is something he couldn't help. He's not like some of these guys who decide to opt out of participating in a combine and wait to the pro day. This is a guy who had to, you know, battle back from a horrific injury that potentially could have ended his career. So, yeah, a lot of question marks right now for him.
Now with technology, with 360 cams, I think it's very possible, but we'll see. Tyler, obviously, I know. Go ahead.
Yeah, they have to do something because I'm just, like, thinking, like, when it comes to Tua, I mean, it's a difference between probably a top three, number three, number possibly number two pick and the guy that, you know, if you don't trust his health, he would fall all the way to the end of the first, or who knows how far it'd fall. So, I mean, I think they have to do something with him because that workout's kind of everything for him. Like, if he looks good during that workout, I think Tua goes, in my prediction, four to the – I think – well, we can do a mock draft. You guys want to
I was
going to
ask
10,
you, like, where do you think – I mean, I was going to ask you before this whole coronavirus happened, where would you have put him? And if things don't go well –
Well, if I'm saying he goes here, so I'm going to go with it. They are able to somehow, modern technology is able to either work a camera in there or they're able to have a couple scouts at a time, maybe something. I don't know how they can do it, but I think I'm going to be an optimist about someone because I don't want to go negative about it. And I'm going to say he looks good. He moved around good. He looks accurate. And people have faith that in his medical testing all is confirmed. And I think someone trades up with the Giants. And the reason why I say the Giants is because I think the Giants are looking at probably taking a offensive tackle. And I just think there's enough good tackles in the top 10. Like if you go from Mika Becton to Tristan Wirfs to Jaderik Willis, I don't even Austin Jackson. I don't think there's a tremendous drop off that I think the Giants are going to move back to get more picks. And I'm predicting – I think Tua goes to the Chargers.
Wow.
So my prediction as of today, San Diego Chargers – sorry, they're not San Diego Chargers, my bad. LA Chargers, yeah. And they let Los Angeles, new stadium, they need a big quarterback who can bring in the fans. That's Tua Tagovailoa. People know him. He's a Polynesian. So he was born in Hawaii. He's on the West Coast. The huge Polynesian population in California, and I think he would be a guy that fits also the system that Anthony Lynn kind of wants to to employ. I heard he likes a very mobile kind of quarterback, which, remember, he's injured. So that's the only question about it. But I'm going to say he looks good, comes back good. He looks good in his pro day. And they trade up to number four and draft him. That's my prediction as of today. Could change.
Justin, where do you think Tua will land if everything goes well, hypothetically speaking?
Everything goes well. I'm going to be, you know, positive as well. I'm not going to be a Debbie Downer. But first of all, just go ahead and throw out the talks of the Lions, talks of the Redskins. That's just junk. it's just you know, drummed up drama, you know, just to get people talking and get people tuning into things and reading articles. So don't take it for anything other than that. I agree with Tyler. I think that I got two choices here. First and foremost, if things, you know, fall into place, yes, I feel like the Chargers is the best fit for him. I think he just embodies West Coast, and I think he'll be a star out there. The only other team I see, and I don't see the Dolphins, I think they'll be maybe a surprise. I say the Carolina Panthers actually trade up and grab him.
I can see that. Yeah, I can see that.
Why Panthers?
Well, to be honest with you, I think the marriage with Cam Newton is over.
Yeah,
matter of fact, I think it's been over for a long time. I think it's time to move in a different direction. And I think that getting him up there will be the breath of fresh air they need. And plus, with an opportunity for his caliber of a offensive mind and his ability to match well with what they got, you know, with their newly hired coordinator, I just think that can be an exciting combination and something that can get the Panthers fans just really, really pumped up.
Tyler, would the Panthers be a good fit for Tua?
Yeah, I could see that being a possible marriage. Now, I do find it interesting that the only team to send a GM to Justin Herbert's workout was the Panthers.
I read that during the coronavirus crisis.
Yeah. So, I thought that what happened?
He took a flight to Charlotte to.
No! I heard a noise. Sorry. But I think that, but I could see Tua going there. But like I said, I predict the Chargers. Like, if I were to predict, can we do our top 10 right now?
Right now, for the March 14th mock-up, okay. Because you could change it till May, right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, go ahead.
Number one, Cincinnati takes Burrow. Number two, Washington takes Chase Young. Number three, the Lions take, I believe, Jeffrey Okudu. I'm seeing some mocks that have him dropping, though. I don't know why, but I'm going to say the Lions take him number three, but I do see some mocks having him drop. I have the trade, so I have the Chargers taking at number four, Tua. Your Dolphins are going to take Justin Herbert. And number six, I think the Giants take Mika Becton. Number seven, so are you guys looking at the draft? Who's number seven?
Panthers.
Okay, that's right. We're just talking about the Panthers.
Which one draft has Derek Brown going?
Okay, so they have so they lose out. I don't have them drafting up. So they obviously aren't getting Burrow, Tua, and Herbert. So yeah, possibly that. But I think the tackles are really good. They just lost tackle. So I'm gonna go with Tristan Wirfs at number seven. Number eight, I believe, is Jacksonville, right?
Eight is Cardinals.
Cardinals take CeeDee Lamb. They need skill talent for Kyler Murray, and Lamb played with him in Oklahoma. I think he's a good fit there. Number nine is probably the Jaguars.
Yeah,
I believe they need some defensive linemen. I heard so that's a guy they take Derek Brown, and then number 10
the Browns.
Is who? Browns. You know, you got the best available player. I think that's Isaiah Simmons.
Justin, do you want to make your predictions now, or you want to save it till May?
I'll make some predictions. Closer resemble Tyler's with a few changes. I think the Giants will take Jedrick Willis, and I also think the Cardinals instead of Lamb will take Jerry Jeudy. That's really the only.
Yeah, Ty didn't mention Jerry Jeudy.
Alterations.
Wonder why you took the. I know because I'm giving you crap because you're a Bama guy, but. You would take Jeudy over Lamb, huh?
I do. I just think he's overall package. He's quicker. I like Lamb. He's exciting to watch. I just think Judy is a little bit better.
Oh yeah.
Really?
What do you think, Tyler? I think Judy's better than Lamb.
No, Lamb's better in my opinion.
Why?
I just love because he has tremendous ball skills. He's very extremely good after the catch. So he's a guy that doesn't necessarily anytime you got a receiver that doesn't have to be open to make a play, you got a special guy, that a guy kind of on the ilk of like a Larry Fitzgerald. I played with Larry. Larry didn't have to be open. He could just make a play. He had the ability to body out receivers. He had the ability to body out the D-back, get over the D-back, fight through the contact. And that's what I like about Lamb is the fact that, you know what, he doesn't have to be open to make the play. And then if he does make the play, he has the ability to make something happen after the play. So if you throw the ball to him, he's covered. The guy then all of a sudden doesn't wrap up. He all of a sudden breaks off of 15, 20 more yards. That overall ability just to make plays when contacted and to make plays after the catch, I'd take CeeDee Lamb over anyone. That's just my personal opinion.
I could definitely
argue the same, pros you just mentioned for Lamb for Judy. He has the ability to just make things happen, even if he's not just outrageously wide open, which he can get. But there are so many. He has just the most amazing route running ability. And he can flat out just fake people out of their cleats. I mean, you got to wonder if some of those guys had ankle insurance the way he made so many of them look bad. I just love what he was able to do. A great change of direction, great ability to improvise. The same thing that you say about Lamb, I can definitely arguably say that Judy possesses the same ability.
Ty, I did hear a rumor source that Dolphins are liking Jordan Love. Can you believe those rumors?
Well, what I heard about the Love thing, yeah, I did hear that. I heard if he's there, if they, for some reason, Tua's not there, and I think Herbert's not there, then
that's your plan.
They would draft Love at number 18. Because remember, do they have two or three picks in the first round?
They're number 18.
So they have number five. Then they have number five, number 18,
and then 27.
So they have three first round picks.
Wow.
So what I heard with Love is like, yeah, if they don't get. So let's say hypothetically, the Chargers draft up with the Lions, take Tua. Let's say the Panthers, who did show up at Justin Herbert's pro day, they draft up to four with the Giants and they take Herbert. Then the Dolphins don't. Then they don't. They can't get Tua. They can't get Herbert. They then wait till number 18 to get Love. I'm not hearing Love going in the top 10 anymore.
Okay.
Like, because I remember I asked you guys. You guys didn't answer. Sometimes it gets lost in the chat. Guess who's dropping back down in the. who he's buzzing like crazy. People are saying he's going to get drafted in front of Herbert. But then I heard there started. Daniel Jeremiah did a good thing. Meaning when you look at his tape. He does show these off-platform throws. He does have some very good athlete. He does have some very good measurables. But he's like, he does also show someone that just makes mistakes. That makes plays that's like, what? You don't have to make that play. You don't have to throw it there. It wasn't even like a risky. It was just straight up dumb. And he also had an arrest for possession of marijuana.
Wow.
So like an off-the-field concern. Couple plays that's just like, you shouldn't do that. Why did you do that? It doesn't matter if you're playing with the worst team in the world. You just don't make that play. That I think Love is I don't. He's not gonna go before Herbert. Like McShay's gonna lose that bet.
How much is it? $5,000.
Yeah, I don't know why he made it because like ever since then it's Herbert's kind of solidifying. Like he's solidifying. Like Herbert might go before Tua.
That's a possibility.
Like if Tua can't show anything, let's say it really doesn't show at the pro day, they can't really see, and there are just too many questions, and then maybe I think Herbert all of a sudden could be the guy drafted in front of Tua. So, I think Love is gonna go in the first round. It's gonna be later. It's gonna be to Dolphins if they don't draft one of the other three. It may be the Raiders at number 19, possibly the Patriots at 23, maybe the Packers at 30. That's where he would go. He's not going to – I don't think he goes. Maybe the Colts at 13. Mm-hmm. That's probably the highest that Jordan Love would go.
Justin Riley, is Jordan Love a good plan B for the Dolphins?
No, I mean, I really don't think that he is. I mean, if they're going to take a risk on him, like Tyler said, you know, wait till your later pick in the first round. You know, I agree with everything that Tyler said about him. I really have never been overly impressed with Jordan Love, and I think, you know, if you focus too much on hype, it could lead to getting you burned. And right now, the Dolphins are an organization that do not take a high risk and get burned. So I think, to be honest with you, if you absolutely have to do it, let it be your later pick. Don't waste one of your higher picks that could be, which can be used to make a lot better decisions. So, but yeah, I'm not a big fan of him. I think, yeah, if he gets drafted high at all, it will be to the Colts, and you know that's what a few people were echoing as well. So, but otherwise, yeah, I see maybe him going later, possibly going to the Patriots, being a guy that maybe they can sit for a little bit and get groomed and be allowed to really grow and then be the guy later on. But right now, you know, that's the best I can see for him.
Yeah, I think Tyler is right. I think Dolphins at fifth, I think they could either get Herbert or Tua by then. I think he'll be I mean, those two guys could be available. One of the two or both could be available by the fifth.
Honestly, see Herbert going there. I just think that it's a great fit, and I just been feeling like there that love and that connection has been there. I just feel like he's better suited for that organization, and he appears to me to be like a guy that's better suited to have had a long NFL career. So that's just the vibe I get from him, and I just think that that's where he falls.
A question from the comments: Should March Madness be a 16 or 18 tournament? Tyler, do you think it should, you know, make a small tournament to be played maybe next month?
Yeah, I don't think it'd be played next month. Probably would be if it does get played, it'd be in probably May. Like I said, I'm gonna remain fervent. I don't think anything gets played till May 1st. So like it'd be like a 16-team tournament, possibly, where it's like a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Monday. Yeah, I hope they do that.
I'd like to see that. Justin, what do you think about that?
Obviously, the thing is, you know, obviously they won't have played for like 2 months. So that, you know, will you get an authentic champion like you would now? No, you won't. I mean, you can get a champion, but it's just, you know, so much time has passed. And obviously, if you're going to play back to back to back, take 2 days off. And I mean, it's very much like an ACC tournament. So basically, you're playing the ACC tournament as an NCAA tournament, but you still get a champion. So yeah, I mean, I would rather see that than nothing. So yeah, I'd love to see Gonzaga win it. No, but I don't know. I don't know who's going to. But Gonzaga would be in it. I think Gonzaga would be in it, and Kansas and Oregon and. You know, Dayton, San Diego State, Duke. So yeah, you're gonna have all those.
Justin, will you be okay with an 8-16 team tournament for March Madness?
I absolutely do. I think that'd be a great idea. I feel like there needs to be some finality to this season. I don't feel like it should just be left blank or left absent or as an asterisk that, you know, we have a 30-for-30 about, you know, down the road. I think that, you know, it's fair. And, yeah, just wait till, you know, till May. And will it be, you know, completely, you know, clean and completely polished? No, you're not going to get that. Cause like Tyler said, you know, these teams won't really have a lot of practice time. We really won't have a lot of time for preparation. But the thing is, like Tyler just said, is you'll get a champion. You know, you'll get you know, a finale to everything. And, you know, and I think that, you know, that's what we need to do. And we're now there's going to be a lot of debate about who should get in and what's fair and, you know, so on and so forth. But the fact that we would actually have a crowning moment for the season, I think that's something that should be done. And, you know, it's something that should have been in the forefront before everybody just said, you know what, we're getting rid of everything. You know, this just kind of take our time and collect our breath and then make a decision. I think everybody just made decisions out of haste and should have just postponed everything rather than canceling everything.
Which I think the
that's my thought.
Yeah, with basketball, NBA, I think it's going to be postponed for at least 30 days. Another question from the comments, Tyler, why not can the Giants get a wide receiver in the fourth pick? Why don't you think that could happen?
Well, you don't do that. Why would you do that? I don't think anyone's worthy of going that high, and I don't think you draft a wide receiver that high for the most part. I mean, Calvin Johnson went that high back in the day, and Larry Fitzgerald, but it's very rare. I mean, you kind of go at the hierarchy of needs: quarterbacks, offensive tackles, and elite pass rushers. Those are the guys that go the highest. I even struggle a little bit to put a guy like Derek Brown, but it's just not a great defensive line draft. And I think he's so much better than everyone else's tape that you draft him maybe in the top 10. But you really go quarterbacks, you go offensive tackles, and this is, you have three top 10 level quarterbacks, and you got 3-4 top 10 level offensive tackles. So I think that's who you draft up there. And don't the Giants have two picks in the first round?
Let me double check. I know they're in the fourth. And no, just one pick in the first round.
Okay, but then they're obviously, I'm having them trade out of that spot with the Chargers, which probably means they'd maybe pick up a second round pick. So they have two picks in the second round. You have so many good wide receivers this year. So let's say, I mean, obviously they're the fourth pick, so they're probably going to have the fourth pick of the second round. There'll still be a guy that's maybe even a first one round level player that's available then. Like a Denzel Mims from Baylor, maybe a Laviska Shenault from Colorado, maybe KJ Hamler from Penn State, who are all very good players, whereas you would have passed up on Tristan Wirfs, you would have passed up on Mika Becton, you would have passed on Jaderic Willis, and I think you just need that elite tackle, especially since you got an elite running back in Saquon Barkley. You got a decent young quarterback in Daniel Jones. You need a good offensive line. They don't have a good offensive line. So you need to take advantage of that. You need to get a big-time offensive lineman. Because in the second round, you might be able to pick up two good wide receivers, like a guy like KJ Hamler and a guy like Laviska Shenault, who are first-round level players because the good wide receivers in this class, they fall to the second round. So, no, you know, you really got to take a offensive tackle there.
Who should the Packers get?
A wide receiver. Because I would possibly, if they were picking higher, would say an offensive lineman. They could use a good lineman, but they need wide receivers. They don't have great weapons around Favre outside of Davante Adams. I don't love the receiving core. And at number 30, you're going to get a good guy. I don't think Jordan Jefferson falls that low. Justin Jefferson falls that low. If he does, he's a no-brainer. That's a quick slot guy. I think I would lean Denzel Mims. He's a guy that's big, he's fast, and he kind of has something that they don't have. Maybe KJ Hamler. He's a really, really blazing fast slot guy. They don't really have that. So I'm leaning Mims, Hamler. And if by the grace of God, Justin Jefferson's there, I would pick him, but I don't think he's going to be there.
Justin Riley, Ravens have tag linebacker Matthew Judon. Thoughts?
Well, that's definitely an offseason need that we needed, that we had to take care of, and they successfully did that. So I'm pretty excited about that. So they're making the right decisions. Now I'm just kind of quite curious as to what direction we'll go in the draft. Me personally, I really feel like that we do need a good wide receiver. We need that big playmaker to go along with, Marquise Brown. So maybe we might luck up and get Jefferson. I would definitely be very excited about the prospect of that.
Definitely the NFL draft will happen, probably remote, Tyler thinks, straight from New York. They got the 32nd pick, the Ravens. So, okay, they got the last one. Any closing words? We'll start with Justin.
Man, it's just a crazy time. It's something that I never thought I'd see in my lifetime, and I'm just still kind of just stunned. My biggest concern out of all this was if we did not start things back for these college athletes, you know, for the winter sports and then spring sports, so on, you know, would they be able to get back this last year of eligibility? And it looks like, from based on what I'm seeing, the NCAA is going to grant them eligibility relief. And so these seniors that, you know, will actually have, you know, a close to their chapter in the right way. So that was one of my biggest concerns about, you know, as far as, you know, the athletes and this whole just craziness. But can't argue against the decision that had to be made. The safety of the population as a whole is far greater than sports in general. So it's a hard decision, and we hate it. You know, we just hate this time we're living in. I honestly feel like within a month, everything will get back to normal, and, you know, we'll actually be able to see everything the way they should have been seen. You know, I think that quite possibly we'll have, you know, a close to the tournament. You know, it'd be great to see them actually reinstate the seasons for softball, for baseball, and other sports as well. So that's my hope. And I just think, you know, this is a time where everybody just needs to, you know, quit, you know, with the division and come together.
Ty Turner, closing words.
Yeah, obviously this has never happened as far as my memory can serve me. This is, you know, no sports. Everyone close to quarantine, and we don't know how far it's going to go. If it starts spreading at too much of a rapid rate, I think eventually you will possibly have each state do a martial law. Basically, you cannot leave your house until they have a beat on this, and they'll obviously close down pretty much everything. I mean, you know, essentials and essential work staff, like health workers and stuff, obviously would be fine. But I don't know how they'd do it. They obviously to deploy National Guard and Army Reserves and law enforcement. But, yeah, I mean, until then, until we really know what's going to happen, everything is kind of on hold. I think the NFL draft is the only thing that probably is going to happen because you don't have to be there. And I think you kind of just have to do it. That, you know, like, you have to move back the NCAA tournament. You have to move back the Masters. You have to move back the NBA Finals. That stuff either gets canceled or gets moved back. You don't have to move back the NFL draft. You can just have it remotely and just do it that way. So, yeah, it's unique. It's never happened, and God's on his throne, and I hope medical personnel and doctors and researchers are able to get to the beat of this and it doesn't infect too many people. It's obviously already infected too many, but and everyone is just healthy and nothing serious happens and we're all alive and well and we have a future ahead of us.
Yeah, for now, spring sports has been suspended. Some could be postponed. We'll see if the NBA will have something going on by the end of the end of spring, early summer. Too early, you know, too early to call. So we'll see what happens. Fall sports, hopefully, it'll be on. But let's hope for the best, and let's keep going. Breaking news: Florida's Jonathan Greenard went from missing 2018 with a gruesome injury to a likely day two pick in the NFL draft. Anyone want to take that?
Jonathan Greenard.
I don't even know. Anyways.
No. I thought it was going to be breaking news like Jonathan Greenard just tested positive for the coronavirus.
No, not him.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
It took an interesting twist. It's like, oh, he's going to be a day two pick.
No, what got me is like two Utah players getting tested positive. That really shocked me.
Oh, you mean – yeah, Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert is being too.
Yeah,
talking about, you don't want to make fun of stuff in life.
No, but that is
bites in the butt.
Yeah, that was horrible. Anyways, Justin, what is the best way to reach you online?
Okay, well, you can reach me on Twitter at JustinRiley7. Also, we'll help occasionally with our sportscast on Twitter and the sportscast on Instagram at the sportscast1.
Tyler, what is the best way to reach you online?
at TurnerCast.
And you can reach us at thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or at thesportscast1. We'll keep you guys up to date. There's a lot of NFL news coming in. Players getting tagged, getting franchise tagged, some getting dropped, and of course NFL draft rumors here and there. That is definitely he's right. Tyler's right. It will go on no matter what, remotely, and hopefully Tua will be able to perform remotely somewhere. Anyways, guys, I appreciate you coming on to this special edition of the Sportscast.
Glad to be here. Thanks.
All right, thanks, man.